Nobody's perfect. We all have our weaknesses and mistakes. We are sinners. We often hear these short phrases, it's time misunderstanding arise among ourselves. And this is the reality of our human nature. And it is precisely because of our sinfulness, our weaknesses, our mistakes, and imperfection that the incarnation of Jesus Christ took place. God became man to save us from sin and to restore us to His grace. And according to St. Thomas Aquinas, he said that God allows evils to happen in order to bring a greater good therefrom. And even St. Augustine referred to the original sin as felix culpa, or happy fault, as we often hear during Easter season. It is sad to note, however, that there are not many people who believe that there is no more sin. And this precludes the possibility of correction and right order among ourselves. And this is the fruit of what Pope Benedict XVI called the dictatorship of relativism. And he said, we are building a dictatorship of relativism that does not recognize anything as definitive and whose ultimate goal consists solely of one's ego and desires. And relativism explained that there is no objective right and wrong that equally applies to everyone. Instead, the only thing that matters is what each individual feels is right and wrong for him. In other words, morality depends entirely on one's personal feelings and perceptions. So sin is just a matter of feeling or subjective interpretation. And we have become so insulated with our ego that our sense of morality no longer recognizes a greater standard. And this is the very reason why the words, I am sorry, or please forgive me, it is my fault, have not been very forthcoming or even lost their place in our vocabularies. Admitting our failures has become a sign of weakness rather than strength. The readings this Sunday remind us that sin is an objective reality and it is extremely dangerous to our souls if not corrected. And we have the serious obligation to teach and remind one another about this, because failure to do so would be a great sin of omission. The prophet Ezekiel, in the first reading today, gives this warning. When God says to the wicked, you must die, and you do not speak up to warn the wicked about their ways, they shall die in their sins, but I will hold you responsible for their blood. In short, under pain of divine punishment, we are duty bound to remind, admonish, and correct one another. And this is what we call in Catholic teachings fraternal correction. Now, fraternal correction does not imply the dialogue that you are wrong, I am right, or I am aggrieved and you are at fault. Fraternal correction is not all about pointing finger to each other, but it is about restoring the primal goodness of relationships broken due to human imperfection weakness, error, and sin. But sadly, we refuse to employ the call of fraternal correction anymore, because we do not want to offend anybody or be considered as intolerant or uncharitable. It has become easier for us to say, "It's none of my business." We turn a blind eye, avoiding to confront the truth of sin. What our readings this Sunday is really trying to speak to us is not about worldly responsibility or accountability. They rather speak about God's commanded spiritual responsibility and accountability that each and everyone has towards our neighbors. In fact, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, to correct the wrongdoer or fraternal correction is in fact an act of charity. Admonishing sinners is one of the spiritual works of mercy, along with giving instruction to the ignorant and counseling the doubtful. And why do we admonish sinners? Why do we concern ourselves correcting the faults of others? It is true that fraternal correction is one of the most difficult and even painful responsibilities we have towards one another. But then Jesus challenges us to do it anyway. And why? It is because God wants everyone, everybody, you and me, to be saved. He does not desire the death of the sinner. Again, in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, he said, "Do I find pleasure in the death of the wicked? Do I not rejoice instead when they turn from their evil way and leave?" That is why Jesus teaches us in the gospel about fraternal correction, how to correct an erring brother and bring him back to the path of salvation. And he gives us the steps to help win our brothers and sisters back to God. But underlying the whole thing about fraternal correction should be the genuine love or charity. For as St. Paul says in the second reading, "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another." And finally, we have to understand as well that just as we are duty-bound to correct others of their faults and failures, we too, on the other hand, should accept correction from others when we commit errors and mistakes in life. Let us eliminate and put aside any inclination towards pride, but allow instead the good virtue of humility reign in our relationship with one another, so that we build up the body of Christ, the Church, into the image God has perfectly designed and intended it to be.